We're just glad you're here today. We're glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm happy. One of the men went out to church last Sunday and said, I'm happy. I said, well, good. And then I thought, well, that's what Ronnie Simpson, I said something about what Ronnie said. When you get married, a man has a choice. He can be either be happy or right. I choose to be happy. He got me on that one because I wasn't thinking too good on that. Now open your Bibles, please, if you will, to where we want to go this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We've been here for a little while. We'll be here for a little longer. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Chapter 20. Getting gardening time, amen? Y'all going to have a garden? Anybody? Y'all be growing something besides marijuana. You only be growing that. But we have some new ground down at the old West place. Nobody here knows where that is except for Chick and his sisters and all three of his sisters and all three of his lovely sisters. But we had a piece of new ground down the West place. Mr. West, that fella used to have rattlesnakes. Did y'all know that? Rattlesnake man. I believe I'd get me something less threatening to be for a pet. My cousin Harlan lives right down from the old West place now. And I was down there helping him move some cages one day. And he, about a month or two later, Harlan's got this sense of humor that just wipes you out. And he said, you know, when you helped me move those containers and the cages and things, he had them right there against the woods. He said, you know what was right beside your leg? I said, I don't have no idea. He said, a rattlesnake. I said, I hate you. He laughed and laughed, and it was in a cage. But I'm going to tell you what, I would not get close to the cage. We were down in Mexico, and Robert Holcomb went with me. Robert's made a change for the best in his health, and that's wonderful. We thought he was going to die, but he's doing better. But we were down there, me and him and Israel Reeves, we were down in Mexico and Matamoros. And, you know, that's when we first went in to get Marco. So in one of those shops, we just walking around in the plaza there and killing a little time. And in one of those shops that sold whatever, clothes and stuff, was with them, there was a box there sitting on something about eye level on a little table thing. And it had glass. And there was a rattlesnake in there coiled up. And it's supposed to be it was assumed to be a stuffed rattlesnake, okay? I don't even want to be around stuffed rattlesnakes. They may resurrect or something. So I got to looking at it. God said, it's not real, it's not real. The owner, it's not real, it's not real. And I said, okay. And I got up there looking at it. That snake was looking. You ever looked in the eyeballs of a snake? There's an old trapper up in near Tennessee, right up there at the Tennessee line at work for TVA, and his job was to trout. And he trapped and destroyed beaver dams and stuff like that, and he ate anything. He told me stuff he's ate, and everything I named, he said, yeah, I've ate it. And he told me the way to tell if a snake was poisoned. You want to know how? You look him in the eye. And if he's got a round pupil, he's not poisoned, but if it's slanted, he's poisoned. So I just thought I'd pass that word along to y'all in case y'all see a snake. You won't know if it's poison or non-poison. Okay? Have you got good vision? So anyway, what's that vision where you can see things far off? You better have that. So anyway, we was plowing up that new ground, and that's when I first went to Temple, and Randy and Ronald and Daddy was down there plowing up that piece of new ground, and you know what they plowed up? A marijuana patch. And didn't even know it. We just considered it weeds, you know, that's what it is, ain't it? So they plowed her up, And the man that, whoever he was, got real mad at my daddy for doing that. But, yeah, daddy wasn't scared of nobody. Didn't bother him. And we probably plowed up a porch up down there. And anyway, I like to turn marijuana patches into watermelon patches. And that's what we did. Amen. But anyway, around gardening time, if you'll pardon me just a moment, people's growing things, all kind of things. Even these professional people are growing things. These professional, you'd never think it, but these professional people with professional skills are growing gardens. You know, what would they, if you ask them, what would they grow? You ask, ophthalmologist, what would you grow? And what does an ophthalmologist grow? What does he deal with? Irises. Iris. That's pretty corny. It gets worse. What about a nurse? Ivies. Right? What about a plumber? Leaks. Y'all don't know y'all's vegetables and flowers, do you? I'm done. All right. Okay. We're talking about the Valley of Baraka. And we're looking in 2 Chronicles. Y'all going to have to develop a sense of humor is all I can say. I'm going to keep on. I'm not going to stop till y'all laugh. Okay, I'm going to keep at this. In verse 26 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and on the fourth day, that means there's 3 days previous, right? On the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. We're not changing the Word of God by no means, but there are, is the word synonym, is that the ones that, words that spell differently, but they mean the same? Is that what a synonym is? I get the antonyms, synonyms, homonyms mixed up. But what this is, for there they blessed the Lord, and you can say they praised the Lord. That's what blessing, you blessed God. How do you bless God? Well, you bless Him by praising Him. And the text proves that. For there they blessed the Lord, therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. And that is, that word means blessing, and it's the Valley of Blessing. It's not necessarily the valley of where you get blessings, because everybody won't live there, right? But it's the valley of where you bless God. It's a place where you arrive that you are able to give God praise and glory and honor. And you understand, friends, that last week, this is obviously an ongoing message, that the idea is that there is not a lot of praising God going on nowadays. They're praising everybody else, everything else, their possessions. They're praising, and don't get me wrong, but they're praising sports. And sports can be a good thing. But what do you spend the most of your time talking about and exhilarating? Check it out. I wish we had some kind of device like that you can put on your wrist or whatever, or on your belt buckle, and it'll tell you how many steps you've made. You know what I'm talking about. I wonder if we could get something that would just estimate and give a time element of how much time we spend giving praise to God in a week. Or let's just give positive and negatives. Positive is giving glory to God. Negative is complaining. And just wonder if we have counted the positives and negatives, which one would be the most through the week. I get good counsel from my wife that encourages me, and I humble myself to receive it. But this morning I asked Kathy, she was saying something, correcting me about something, and I can't remember what it is. It's just so much of it. But there was something. Did you put my brush? Hey, I don't know. Why would I be touching a brush for? I said, Kathy, while we're on this part of the conversation, Is there anything else that you need to counsel me about? Because I'm ready to hear. I'm trying to turn my negatives into positives. Wouldn't that be good if we could do that? And, you know, the way I was trained as a salesman is the idea is that with every obstacle, there's an equal or greater opportunity. You just got to look around for it. Amen. You got a choice. You got a choice to be negative or positive. And a Christian of anybody in the world that should be of a positive character, nature, it should be a child of God. Amen. And I don't mean you necessarily jump pews in the church, and you might want to do that. That's up to you. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot more to praising God than jumping a pew. It's a daily thing. It's how you face your challenges. Man, two or three days last week, man, I'm going to tell you, I'm just flying through it with praise. I'm telling you. It didn't come from me, it come from God. And then I got tired one night, and you're supposed to get tired at night. And you get to where you get, you know, you need David to come in, not David Faulkner, but unless David, you could try it, like David did to Saul. You need somebody to come in and play you a melody and get that bad spirit out because you get tired and weary. I said, this ain't going to last long because I'm going to sleep and I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to feel refreshed and good to go. Sometimes that works, sometimes that don't. I have to get up in the morning. I'm getting up. I got three, I'm going to sleep 3 more minutes. You believe I can do that? You better believe I can. And so then I get into working into the day, and you got to sort of identify and find God somewhere. Like in the Garden of Eden, you got to say, okay, let me find God. I know He's going up walking, and I'm going to get with Him. And when you get with Him, you're bound for a good day. Amen. Amen. The Valley of Baraka. Baracha, the valley of blessing. So it's something that's wonderful that takes place when we're living in that valley. There's something wonderful that happens. We begin to realize God for who He is and for what He's done for us. And when you get in that place, friend, you or I get in the place to realize who God is, powerful, controlling. And when we get in that place, that valley, we praise Him for that, and we realize His blessings that He's blessed us with. So it's a twofold thing. He's blessed, we're blessed. He's praised, we're blessed. We give Him glory, and we get something that comes over us that only can be explained and cannot be explained with words. It's the realization of the presence of God, the power of God, the protection, and everything good about God. And then you know what matters anymore? Nothing. Nothing matters in that sense of the word about what we think should be right or what we think should be wrong or the way we think things should be working or not working. It's all in God's hands. Glory be to God. That's where I want to live. Hallelujah. Now, the Valley of Baraka that we've already told you, just summing up this chapter. We've already told you that Israel was surrounded by 5 at least armies, enemies. They were coming at them. They were coming to destroy Israel. And you know, in the latter time, there's happening right now. They don't want Israel to exist. And I'll tell you something else. The devil don't want the church to exist. He don't want you as a Christian family to exist. So it's very important that we should let God fight our battles. And that's what the little prophet stood up, a young prophet stood up. We've already said that. And they were challenged by the enemy. And he stood up and he said, here's what he said. You can read this chapter later. He said, this battle is one you don't have to fight in. He said, because the battle belongs to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, I want God to fight all my battles. I've got responsibility to take a stand. But if I try within my flesh to fight the battle and not give it to God, I'm dead in the water. I'm dead in the water. Some of you are looking for that verse. It's in 17. You shall not need to fight in the battle. Set yourself, stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord. And in the last part of verse 15, it says, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And you understand what happens when we start beginning to take things personally in our lives. You say, he offended me. She offended me. When we start on that personal thing, taking these things personal, that's when God's, you can forget God helping you. You got to let God take care of that. I'll tell you what, I want God to fight for me. I don't have strength to do it. I mean, I'm going to tell you why. All we got to do is stand, see the salvation of the Lord. Having done all to stand, Ephesians chapter 6, stand. Having done all to stand, everything you can do to stand for your convictions, your values, and when you've done all you can do, you know what you're supposed to keep doing? Just keep standing and watch God. And that's what happened this time. So there's something about this that's just so wonderful. And I want to just say a few things. I'm not going to keep you long at all. I'm not going to keep you long at all. I won't do that. There's a reluctance to praise. I believe there's a reluctance to praise. And let me just read a verse or two. Let's start reading in 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, go against them, for the Lord will bless you. Go out against them. They'd already been told that they were not to fight the battle. It was God's battle. And now they're saying go out against them. And that means against them is go towards them. Get up to them. What? It's God's, there's a faith principle. In other words, I'm going to approach the problem. I'm not going to ignore it. And I'm just going to approach the problem and trust God to do what He said He was going to do. Amen. Amen. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head, his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now, you cannot worship God without praising Him. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Somebody has to get it started. And this group of people, these probably all kinfolks, this group of people representing the entire 2 or 3 million Israelites at that time, for some reason or another, they just stood up and praised God. They said, we're going to praise God who's already said that He's going to do the battle. He's going to fight the battle. We're going to praise Him. And there's something that wonderful happens when we release it to God. When we release everything to God, give up and say, has anybody ever said, I've done the best I can and I don't know what I'm going to do and what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to give you some good advice. When you've done all you can do and you're giving up and don't know what else you can do, say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. You're with me. You'll never leave me. And I'm putting this in your hands. Amen. That don't mean you become ignorant of the situation, but I tell you what, it's a relief factor when you release to God. There's a force of praise. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. What these people did, these people that started to praise God the day before, what they did got the attention of the king. The king gets involved in it. I don't know. I didn't see it, but I heard on the news that President Trump had some evangelical preachers in the Oval Office or wherever, and they had prayer. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not, anybody can believe whatever they want to believe, but I don't know if he had a Muslim in there. I don't know. I don't think he did. You check that out. But he had people praying. Two of the men I know were believers. Now, The king got involved in the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in, he said, believe in the Lord God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Hey, he said, listen to the preachers. He told Israel to listen to the preachers and then you'll prosper. We're just walking through this. But you know what happens in a lot of situations? That most people, when preachers are eating chicken for dinner, a lot of the people are eating preacher for dinner. That ain't no good, friends. You know who hears that? Your little children hear that. And then they lose respect for preachers. They sure do. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. You know what involves praise? Some singing. Some singing. We praise God. You look in Revelation, you just count the times that the word praise and sing and glory and honor and worship is mentioned in the book of Revelation that we're going to be involved in. Yes, sir, we are. He appointed singers that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before his army. The good song is the song that puts the emphasis on the glory of God. That's the good song. But if you get this song, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna walk on the streets of gold. Yeah, I'm gonna go up there and find mama. Do you understand? I've been thinking about this. It may take you a while to find your mama when you get to heaven. This crazy song I hear on the radio out of Gunnersville, y'all listen to that. It's got bluegrass on it. I listen to it every Sunday morning. Kathy said, I'm going deaf. I said, well, back up a little bit. You don't have to stand right over the radio. And so it says, when I get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, come and shake your mama's hand. Well, there might be some of that going on. But I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a lot of praise going on. They went out before the army and to say, hey, look at this. The people, and when he had consulted with the people, verse 21, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army. So he said, I want you to go out before them. And they've not got guns. They've not got hand grenades. They've not got missiles. They're just going out there singing praise to God. Before five armies that represented five countries. You can see it in verse 1 and 2 and 3 that were coming against Israel. You say, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. You know why? Because faith can't see what God can do. No faith, unbelief cannot see what God can do. But these people placed faith in the accomplishments of God. They surely did. Now here it is. When they began to sing, praise the Lord. The Lord said, ambushments against, hey, I'd rather let God set the ambushes, me. I'm going to say, next time I see him, I you know what I'm going to do? Well, go ahead and do it and make a fool out of yourself. But if you let God ambush him, he'll know something's happened. Amen? Against the children of Moab. Look here. The children of Ammon and Moab, you know who that crowd was? Those were the descendants of the incestuous relationship that Lot had with his daughters. And they might have even turned out to be funny boys. I don't know. You say those group was not militant. I'm going to tell you what they are. They solicit because they cannot reproduce. They sure do. And they're militant. You better believe they are. Moab and Ammon, Mount Seir, which come against Judah, and they went, and they were smitten. God sent an ambush. You know what an ambush is? You watch these cowboy shows, whatever, some of you do. So these guys are sitting behind a bush, and okay, wait, don't shoot till I say, don't do it, just wait. So here comes them armies, and God goes, here I am! That's the literal. I am. I'm taking over right here. Hey, surprise!
children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Sarah, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. All five armies started killing each other. They just turned against it. Sort of sounds like the Democratic Party to me. I can't help make a little comment ever along that line. And God, we need to pray because, you know, the Bible says don't rejoice over the destruction of the enemy. It says, lest I turn the things. You better take them serious and you better pray for them because they're coming back. They're going to come back with everything they got. You can mark that down. There's more abortions being taken place right now with the pill than there was before the ruling against Roe versus Wade. Sad, ain't it? They're going to kill babies if the mother just has to do it herself. God help us. God took care of the enemy. Verse 24, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. God can take care of all the enemy. All of them. I know, you know, these are examples. Do you understand that in the book of Corinthians that God said, you study the nation of Israel, you study how my relationship I had with them in the history of Israel in the Old Testament, and you study the relationship because they are your ensamples. So we study the nation of Israel as an example to us on how we're to live our Christian life and let God do what he did to help them. That's the positive part. Now, when Jehoshaphat, verse 25, and his people came to take away the spoil. You know what the spoil is, don't you? That's not that stuff that I tried to make cowboy candy out of. I found a pint jar of sliced, you cut them like rings, of jalapenos. And I'm out of cowboy candy. Just to let you know, ladies, I'm out of cowboy candy. And so I saw that jar that had been refrigerated raccoon's age. And, you know, raccoons live a long time. And so I said, I'm going to make me some cowboy candy. And so Kathy wasn't home. She just happened to not be at home. So I'm having to fend for myself. I'm having to eat my dinner. I'm having to get in the refrigerator and look through about 1,000 bowls to find some turnip greens, pinto beans, and some leftover cornbread and some onion and a piece of meat of whatever kind I didn't care. So I need some cowboy candy. I looked in my jar, just a couple little drops. So I found that jar of sliced up jalapenos and I got it at the table and it's about that far from the top and seen the sugar bowl. I put about a pound of sugar in there, put the lid on, I'm shaking. Why don't it be cowboy? That's not cowboy candy. It didn't even taste like cowboy candy. I'm afraid to feed it to Duke because I'm afraid it'd kill him. And the jalapenos was this word spoil. But this word spoil is not used on something in this text. It's something ruined. It means something good. Now look at this. In verse number 25, dead bodies everywhere. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels. It's like getting the shoes off of a dead man. Benny Kanoy was here years ago. He wanted to go down and look at the used shoe store down there on Chestnut or Walnut, one in Gadsden. We went in there to buy some shoes. You know, preachers do things like that. We go into used shoe stores. And I asked that woman at the store, I said, are these dead men's shoes? And she said, don't you know that dead men don't wear shoes? She said, thank you for telling me that. Brother Kanoy said, after it sets 3 days, there's no more germs in there. I don't know if that's true or not. But I got the germs of many dead men. Hey, to take away the spoil. They found among them an abundance of... You're talking about the reward of praise. You got reluctance to praise. You don't know what you're missing if you don't praise God. You say, well, if I praise God, do I get all the spoil? You get something better than that. There's some things that are a lot better than physical things. And that's peace and joy and happiness from within. You can't get that with physical possessions. You can't do that. I don't understand this. Right there at the crossroads at Leesburg, before you cross the Leesburg Bridge, right there at Acusa Corner on the right before the post office, there's a pile of junk there. And y'all, have y'all seen that come? I mean, it's just... And there'll be people digging for that stuff. I don't know. It may be good stuff. It may be fine art. It's not fine art to me. Sorry if I offended any of you. Yard sale kings and queens. But there are some stuff out there. But here it is. Look here. This was a gold mine. They found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels. You know, I'll tell you what. You don't know if I'd have enough guts to go down there and just jerk a necklace off of one of them women's big pearl there. Jerk it. Did. But I'm going to tell you what, I know some people that would. Hey, she's dead anyway. She ain't going to miss it. All her people's dead. They can't get an inheritance. I'll take care. I'd check their billfolds. Hey, yeah. This man was a poor man. This man got $100 bills in his pocket. Bless his heart. He's probably in hell, but it's because he was the enemy of God. Yeah, that's pretty cruel, ain't it? But look at it. Precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves. My God. Can't you see it? Hey. Black Monday or Black Friday or whatever it is, ain't got nothing on these people. They're going after the goods. That was, yes, amen, brother. Come on, Henry, he's with me. My wife and her sister were walking through Walmart in Fort Payne, I reckon it was, and wherever it was. Or I don't know if you're with her or not, but this is a true story. And she had found something for herself, and one of them days she's got it in her arm, and a woman come by and grabbed it and took off running with it. That's mine. There's just one more left, and that's mine. There's enough to go around for everybody right here. Look, they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. 3 days. Can you imagine that? I mean, you know, they got to rest a little bit. They stayed up late and got up early. 3 days getting the blessings of God. You see what is at your disposal if you will just put God in his proper place and put you in your place and wait on God to do what you and I can never do. Never do. It was so much. On the fourth day, now here's some good stuff right here. On my part right here. On my thinking. It's good for me. It's good for me. There's been reluctance to praise. People are reluctant. They're afraid. You know what? If you don't talk about God more than you do on Sunday, from Monday to Saturday, you need to start talking and giving credit and praise to God wherever you go. The text will prove that there's profitable reluctance to praise. Why? You know why? That bad word, pride. Why? It's going to say, look what I've done. Look what I've done. No, look what God's done. When I was at Tennessee Temple, I had one of the first front-wheel drive cars. It was a Honda Civic. And I remember Chick, and I was on the job with them one day, and they raised the hood, and they were, remember looking at that motor, Chick? It was in there sideways. I mean, they just looked that car over, and God blessed me with that car. So And it snowed, and I was the only one going around Chattanooga driving because it had a front-wheel drive. Everybody else was in ditches. But I saw one of those cars, and I had sold my cars to go up there. My car, they said, we don't want cars. I got up there, and people had cars. And I said, well, I'm going to get a car, too. I come back home, see Mama. And I saw one, and I said, I'd like to have one of those. And me and Jerry Reeves was working in the summertime in Birmingham. We come through Bessemer, and I saw one sitting out on the car lot. And we stopped, and I bought it. $2,800. It was a year old. Now, I got back up to Temple when class started that fall, and they said, he done what he said he was going to do. He got him one. You know what I said? God, give me this. And you know what they said? Somebody said, God didn't give you that. He said, are you making payments? I said, yeah, $50 a month. He said, God didn't give you that. You're earning money. I said, listen, buddy, God gave me that car, not me. And he did, and I drove it till the wheels fell off of it. Kathy, that's where me and her drove around courting. Froggy went a courting, he did ride a crown bone. Larissa was in the back seat. I remember those days, remember? I remember those days. I'll never forget them. Better not. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the Valley of Baracha. The Valley of Bliss! I mean, they done been praising God. They done been... I got good English. They done a been praising God before the victory, before he ever conquered the enemy. They were praising God before God gave them the victory. Jesus, Paul said in Romans, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You got the victory. You know what's wrong with you, maybe? You just don't claim it. And thank God in advance. Me and you both, we're all guilty of it. The name of the place was called the Valley of Baracha, the Valley of Blessing unto this day. Bless the Lord. And then they returned every man of Judah. I'm running through this quickly. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Victory. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord with the church. Amen. You know what's going to be, a problem with people if they're not careful? Their possessions and their blessings will lead them out of church. They went to church. And the fear of God was on the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord God fought against the enemies of Israel. You know what happened? The fear of God took place on the enemies. Preachers have brought it on themselves. Preachers are not reverend and respected like they used to be. We brought it on ourselves. Up on Grant Mountain, anybody know where Grant Mountain is? On the other side of Gunnersville, going towards Huntsville. That's where I worked a lot of times. I've never told anybody I was a preacher. I never, you know, I mean, in that business, I mean, I guess I've told people I'm a preacher before, but they would, a lot of people ask me if I was a preacher. I guess it was my dignity. And my holiness. And the way I talked. No, I don't know, but people have asked me if I was a preacher. And I said, yes, I am. One woman asked me if I was a Christian. I said, well, I'm saved. You're going to have to tell me whether I'm a Christian or not. Because Christian is somebody who lives like Jesus. But I'm saved. So they asked me if I was a preacher. And that's holiness ground up there. They don't go to hospitals. They don't. And that's their decision. They don't believe in going to the hospital. An old granny woman told me up there, said I had a heart attack right here in my living room. God healed me. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. That's her privilege. But you know, they said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, I am. And they said, please don't tell us that you're what kind are you? I said, I'm Baptist. And they said, please don't tell us you're like the preacher that's up here, the Baptist preacher. He carried a Bible in one hip pocket, according to them, and a fifth of liquor in the other hip pocket. So you can see why. It starts from the top, friends. That's why people don't respect Christians, the house of God. It starts from the pulpit. You got preachers I want to be a preacher like I heard a man the other day I was talking to about the Lord. And he said, there's only one preacher that I have really had any confidence in. And whoever he was, he said, when he preached, he lived it. And when he preached, I had cold chill bumps on me. The way we get cold chill bumps on us now when the air conditioner is too low. I want the fear of God to be in my life, and I want my testimony to produce the fear of God in other people's lives. That's very serious, friends. And that's what they said. They returned every man to Judah, verse number 20, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries, which they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies. The fear of God. So the realm of Jehoshaphat, look at this. What happens? What happens? Reluctance to praise, release to praise, the response of the Lord in the battle, the reward of praise. They got physical blessings. We get peace and joy and happiness. And then reward of praise and the results of praise. Look, the results, fear came on the people. Verse 30, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Listen, there's two words there that you'll never have without giving praise to God. You'll never be quiet in your soul, and there'll never be rest. You'll stay up at night worried about things. Your conversation will be negative towards what you cannot do about the situation. But I'm going to tell you what, if you turn it over to God, it's going to be quiet in the realm of your life. And there's going to be rest. There's more rest products being sold right now, sleep products, than they ever have been, and nerve products. The first thing they try to do with postpartum stuff, with women when they have children, ladies when they have children, is try to get them on some kind of drug. Everybody in North Carolina that Hannah knows, its mamas, is on some kind of drug except for who? Her. God helps her. Hallelujah. The Bible, Jesus said in the last days, men's hearts will fail them. Why? Because of surfeiting, too much surf and fear in their lives. And all we got to do is praise. You say, you're making it so simple. It's so simple, it's falling off a log. Just as simple as it is to get saved, if you'll get your pride out of the way, you can get saved. And just as simple it is to have peace and rest and quietness in your life, if you'll just praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know how I know? Not because the Bible says so, but that's part of it. I know the Bible. I know my experience. I know when I try to hold it in, I'm dead. But when I'm praising God, I get out there and run with them baby calves like I told you last week. I get out there and visit them, don't I? You see that. I'm going to chase one down, grab him by the ears, and sling him down. That's it. As far as we're going to go, let's stand. We're going to have an invitation.